Welcome to the King of Podcast 2016.
Faking's great!
Tom Mantak. I missed some Street Fighter V over the top announcements.
There's not a lot of polish on there, is there?
Well, there's plenty of polish, just not in that area, it would seem.
Well, yeah, it's a bit bare bones.
Yeah. Yeah, lacking the pizzazz of Street Fighter IV, but backing up with some very solid gameplay. Yes, we've just been playing Street Fighter V.
Lacking the pizzazz of Street Fighter II, and that game's not got a lot of pizzazz.
USSR.
Yeah.
Oh my, that was horrible.
That's what it sounds like in my head.
Yes, another week, another podcast. How have you been, Matt? All right?
I'm okay. I'm not too bad.
Yeah.
Now you just snapped me out of my Street Fighter thing a little bit better.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped after playing that, though. It's good.
It's all right. I got a big red thumb now because I play fighting games in a weird way, apparently. Mm. I've just realised. I use the base of my thumb, like the joint bit, to use the D-pad, and it gives me serious blisters every time. And then I realised, oh, I'm just being a weirdo, I should play with the tip of my thumb.
I was going to ask you your pluses and minuses to Street Fighter V, but I take that would be a minus.
Well, no, that's just a minus on myself, really. That's just an assessment of my own character.
What do you think?
I think it's all right. it's all right. I played a bit of it with you, obviously, and
we played quite a bit. We played for about an hour.
We did.
I think just now.
We came down to 5 wins each, and then we played both as Ryu, and you beat me because I haven't played as Ryu for an awful long time.
We played on all but one area.
Yes.
Level.
Levels are a bit bland. They look all right, but I mean, like, they're in terms of graphically, they're not really that.
There's not as much going on there as, say, Street Fighter 4, perhaps.
Just feel a bit flat.
It's hard not to compare this game to Street Fighter 4, but I have to say that the actual gameplay does feel a lot tighter.
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean,
4 felt, nothing wrong with it, felt looser. This feels a little bit more angular. It's hard to describe.
I just think Street Fighter 4 had a bit more, like, light-hearted
bounce
to it.
It definitely had bounce.
This is a bit more of a clinical Street Fighter. You can tell, obviously, as this game was released early, so it meets the Capcom things, so they can start doing the professional scene, pro circuit Street Fighter things. It's blatantly made with those people in mind rather than anyone else, I think.
Yeah.
As such, like, it's a better Street Fighter experience, I think. It, as you were saying, quite rightly, I think it's closer to Street Fighter 2 than 4 was.
Mm.
But at the same time, there's a little room in there. Like, the characters seem very balanced. I don't know. There's not so much of a, oh shit, I'm playing this character, it'll definitely be a win now thing to it. Everything feels a lot more balanced. But as a result of that, like, as a Zangief player who is slow and I can't charge anymore, I can't do the green hand flame thing. As you can tell, I'm not a technical Street Fighter player. But just things like that, when I land a move, I want it to hurt like a bitch, and then it doesn't. Like, your dragon punches were doing as much damage as my cyclones.
Sure.
Which is not great.
It's obvious as this game's been very well thought out in terms of the fighting system.
Yes.
And balancing and such. And I think over time these things will become a little bit more apparent. And perhaps only noticeable for those who are really noticeable for those who play professionally.
Yeah, high-level players.
But it's a very solid game. Looks nice. Plays nice. But it's bare bones, as you say. It's a game which will be developed on over time. And yes, I was reluctant to buy it at this point, but I was very excited to play it. So I did bite the bullet and purchase a copy.
You know what the really weird thing is? As listeners of the podcast will know, I like to talk and I like to have opinions on things. Mm. I don't really have one.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's not bad, but it's not...
Great.
Bowled me over, no.
No.
It's kind of just middle of the road Street Fighter.
For me, it's keeping Street Fighter alive. It's done a good job of keeping Street Fighter relevant, current. It does what it needs to do, and I think we'll see more over time. I think this game will become a lot more rounded, a lot bigger, maybe a lot more exciting.
What do you mean when Capcom sells it to you three times over?
When we get this story mode, which is free, I think.
Yes, it is. It is free.
It'll become available. It'll make the whole thing feel a little bit more exciting, because as there is at the moment, there's just the four battle story modes. So that's four fights for each character.
Yeah.
And you get a still cuts, you know, illustration.
Yeah,
if you're
just
between,
like, terrible anime.
Some are longer than others. Rashid's was quite long. I guess the new character wanted to develop him a bit. Same with Armika. Ken's was very short, straightforward story. You're not going to get a lot from them. But the new characters are cool. I do like Rashid a lot.
Rashid's good. Lara, as the American pronouncer called her, seemed quite cool with the blank of things going on.
Fang is a character which isn't really suited to my playstyle, but...
Fong, I believe his name is.
Oh,
I
think it's F-A-O,
I know.
Fong, okay.
I think it's Fong.
Fair enough. I want to know what those initials stand for, though, because they're kind of...
Not
they got
a
dots.
Clue. Not a clue.
Dots between...
Not a clue. It's hyphenated, you mean? That's correct, right? I don't know.
Let's get off the English lesson.
Yeah, let's...
Continue.
Acronym, synonym, no synonym. Oh God, I'm going away from it.
It doesn't matter. People don't listen to this podcast for an English lesson.
And if you do, God help you. What else have you been playing?
Yeah, what else have
Street
I
Fighter?
Been playing other than Street Fighter? It's a very good question. I played a bit of Force Unleashed 2 on the Wii this morning.
Really? I was there.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I've played through the game on the PS3 before. I think it's a beautiful game on PS3. Of course, not quite so good looking on the Wii, but. It does have these motion controls actually work well for a game like Force Awakens.
Well, I can imagine there's a lot of force powers going on.
You know,
there's a lot of lightsaber waggling.
Remote forward to do like a force push thing, and you've got you got lightning by shaking your nunchuck. You've got special moves like waggling your remote, holding down a button when you do all these, and actually, you know, that could be a total mess, right?
Yeah.
Somehow. The controls never feel like a mess, and the game feels very solid.
That's interesting.
And it's a very good conversion of the PS3 game, I'd say. It doesn't look as nice by a long shot, which is a shame, because that was one of the strengths of that game, because Force Unleashed 2 was quite a simple, straightforward, short game.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it a lot. And
it's very pretty.
Yeah. On the Wii U, though, the gameplay holds up really well, especially with this extra motion control.
See, I don't really remember being that bowled over with Force Unleashed 2. Like, I remember.
Have you played through it?
I beat it. I got
Did
it
you?
The day it came out.
Oh.
I really liked the first one, despite a lot of people not doing the same. But I mean, I don't know. It's kind of a forgettable game. I remember the opening where you're like being cloned.
You're on Kamino. There's rain. It looks beautiful. I remember that from the demo of Force Unleashed.
I remember falling after that. I remember that first level being amazing. I remember fighting Rancors. That's about it.
Well, actually, on the second level, you end up on a Neomodian gambling planet.
Yeah.
And you don't fight a Rancor. You nearly fight a Rancor. Because the Rancor appears first and then is dwarfed by this even more humongous beast who you have to fight. And that's quite an impressive set piece.
Isn't it like a purple Rancor? Isn't there one of those later in the game? Wasn't that the first one?
I think actually the first one.
Man, they've blurred together in my head. I remember liking the first one more than the second, but man...
I can tell you that the Wii version does... there are bits that were in the PS3 version that aren't in the Wii version.
Really?
Yeah, there was what I remember, an elongated sequence on a train on that second level. And it's there, but it's not there in any great length in this one. But there are levels which are exclusive to the Wii version. And a four-player mode.
Okay.
Four-player Smash Brothers type battling, I think.
Wow.
Which I haven't tried yet, but I'd like to get enough people.
Is that why you bought it?
I bought it actually because I ended up with a strategy guide for Force Unleashed 2 quite cheap when I used to work at Game.
Yeah.
And I'd seen that there were two versions of the game within that with more levels.
Okay.
And seeing that, I really liked Force Awakens 2. Force Unleashed.
Yeah.
These two blur.
They do, yeah.
Force Unleashed 2. I thought, well, I've got to try the Wii version because there's some gameplay, you know, that's in it that's not in the other ones. So.
There was a really interesting article on Kotaku about the time that LucasArts closed its doors about the making of that game.
Yeah.
And how George Lucas was a bit of a douchebag to the people making it. Because they wanted...
I've never heard that.
they wanted to make him a Darth, which apparently
Darth
like,
Lucas.
No. Starkiller.
Oh yes.
They wanted to give him a Darth title. Right. However, to do that, apparently you had to go through George Lucas. Like, even in all the extended universe, like comics and stuff, yeah. If you want to make a character a Darth, because it's such a big thing in Star Wars,
yeah,
you need to go through Lucas. And he wouldn't let them. He would only let them call it, like, Darth Craven and, like, horrible, like, cowardly names. And he's a proper douche. Like, at least he comes off across in that article as one.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's a good, interesting read.
That's quite interesting. I do happen to think The Force Unleashed 2 does capture the essence of Star Wars and the atmosphere. It's well written, the characters are good. There's not a lot going on in the story. It is sort of a means to an end, but actually at the very end, you do get some sort of, there is some sort of emotional resonance. I think I mentioned it before. It's one of the few games which actually connected with me in terms of a emotional, which is funny, isn't it, really? Because it's quite a...
Honestly, a I can't remember game. It
was when he had his love in his arms. At the end, I think there was some sort of
emotional exchange
between the two of them. And this guy...
I remember her name is Juno.
Yeah, Juno, that's right. And Juno Eclipse?
Something like that. What a stupid name.
And he's like a clone. He's been told he's a clone of Starkiller. But it's him searching for his own identity.
Yeah.
Okay, I like Force Unleashed 2. I actually went back and played Force Unleashed 1. After playing 2, and I couldn't get over how clunky it felt.
Yeah, I remember that.
Because it's very smooth, too. I think, but it's smooth, it's detriment that it's maybe more basic.
Yeah.
But yeah, I find it very difficult to go back and play 1, especially the camera in 1.
That sequence of pulling a Star Destroyer out of the sky, I've talked about it before on the podcast, is the most clunky, ill-thought-out sequence in the world. It's really cool. Idea, but it's so hindered by the controls of you rotating both R and L3 and R3 at the same time and doing weird things with them. It's a pain in the ass.
At least I think Unleashed 2 is a more refined experience.
Definitely is. They learned a lot.
Yeah. So I've been playing that and enjoying it. How about yourself, Matt? Any more?
Well, Tom, after we podcasted last week, I completed Firewatch. I won't say that much about it now.
You weren't too sure about Firewatch. At least to get the impression.
I'm still not really that bowled over by it, if I'm being honest. Like, I got to the end, I think maybe because Rapture had resonated with me more, that I didn't quite get anything out of it the way I thought I would.
Is it that close of an experience to Rapture, or is it quite different?
Like I said, It feels more like a video game than Rapture does.
Mm-hmm.
You are doing things, you're in this world. And like I was listening to Giant Beastcast, which is an offshoot of Giant Bombcast, and they had the complete opposite. Whereas they didn't like Rapture, they absolutely loved Firewatch.
Okay. They didn't like Rapture.
They didn't
what
like
was their
Rapture
reasoning for that?
Because they thought it was like you were just observing, like the story didn't matter if you were there or not. You know what I mean? You're not interacting with it. Their reason for really liking Firewatch was that you were going around and you were exploring and you were doing all this stuff.
You were doing stuff.
Yeah, but the stuff is inconsequential still. I don't really see that much of a difference between them other than what you're doing. I mean, you're still walking around a forest. I mean, yes, there's a few little bits to it of you climbing and stuff, but I mean...
Rapture isn't on rails, though. It is an explorative game.
It is.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's like this weird like divide almost of... The story is okay. It doesn't wrap up in a way I wanted it to, and I feel the choices I made in that game at the start really have no consequence on what happens. I feel if I would play through again, choosing different... There's a beautiful sequence at the start. I won't spoil for anyone who's not played it, but it's kind of like a text adventure style thing. It's very unexpected. But you do that, and like even some of the answers to that, I was like, well, no, that's not what I wanted from that. Like, but I guess it's there to say, like, oh, well, even if you got the best intention, the thing goes to shit sometimes.
Uh-huh.
But then I don't really think there would be any difference in me telling Delilah, the girl on the radio, one thing or another, or it just doesn't add up. And I mean, it's got such mystery, like in the first chapter set up, like there's these girls that go missing. There's this strange guy you see out in the woods, and then it looks like you're being, oh, I'm not going to say, it looks like something's happening anyway. And like there's so these plot threads that go off, and you're like, wow, like what's going to go happen here? What's going to go on? And then, like, none of them develop into anything except one of them. And I'm like,
okay. Do they develop slightly if you take a different path? Do you replay the game?
That's the thing. Like, I can't see any other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the set pieces of that game are such that they revolve around this one thing that happens.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, maybe it could be another way. But, like, I never really drove the story the way it went, which is what makes me think that it isn't anything more than that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But I don't know. We'll see, I guess.
Is it worth playing, Matthew?
I would say so. It's curiosity.
Yeah.
I think you will probably get a lot more out of it than me, perhaps. Oh, okay. With how much you got out of Rapture. Like, I really enjoy Rapture. We talked about this briefly at the end of last week's podcast, but...
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm just not that bowled over by it.
I like these interactive experiences we're getting now, which don't rely heavily on you having great game playing ability, but you're able to experience the story in a unique way. I enjoy watching films. This felt like I was within.
Yeah.
Of course, it's not like cinematic in the same respect a film is, but you know, you can appreciate the beauty. You kind of look at it in your own way, isn't it? It's like a film presents you with this in a certain way of looking at it, and in Rapture you can look at it in your own kind of way and interpret it
differently. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, me and you took different things from that game.
Yeah.
We had a discussion.
I'm looking for more experiences like that, but
I want you to play this because I'm very curious to see what
I
you
want
think
to play
of it.
It, but I don't want to pay for it right now.
I think you should. I think it's worth the money they're asking for it because, like I said, the dialogue is really well written. Yeah. Like the characters are very well realized.
Mm.
I just don't know if I'm sold on the story, but I don't know if that's me.
I'd love to have this discussion with you. How long's the game? How long can I?
Three, play? 4 hours. It's not very long.
Then maybe before next time.
Yeah, if you can, I'd be interested to talk about next week's podcast.
The reason I mentioned not buying this game is because I realized today, looking through my eBay purchases since I came back to Denmark after Christmas, I've got 59 games waiting for me back in the UK.
What?
Yeah, I counted up everything I bought. And some of these, I have to say, are bundles, cheap bundles.
You were home
games.
At Christmas?
Yeah.
How the fuck did you do that?
I bought 59 games in total since Christmas on eBay.
What are the highlights of those 59? Like
the highlights. I can tell you what I picked up recently, if you like. Let me just have a little look on my tablet device. So, yeah, within the last week, I certainly have picked up a few more.
Yeah.
So let's just have a little look here. It'll be a moment. Matt, entertain everyone while I look for this.
Tom's looking at an iPad.
I picked up Glover for the N64, a game I've been wanting for such a long time.
Okay.
It was only £4.40 with postage.
Cool!
I was so chuffed about that.
Cool!
Because I'd let others go for far more in the past. I got a multi-tap for the PS2, right?
Cool!
Yeah, but this one is also a... A switcher, like SCART switcher.
Ooh.
It's a multi-tap and a multiple SCART switch machine one with a remote control.
That's very useful.
And it was under a tenner.
Cool!
Yeah. And you see it here, Matt. It'll sit nicely on top of your... it's got memory card slots for all your extra controllers and things. It was the last one on... eBay at the time. Enemy Zero for the PC, which is a game.
Sorry, I was just adding some Home Shopping Network music.
Yeah. You heard of Enemy Zero? The guy who did D.
Yes, I have.
Enemy Zero was on the Saturn and the PC. I've picked the PC copy for an affordable £4.
Cool.
Because the Saturn copy was like 25, so.
It's all right, yeah.
Wasn't going to bother with that. Battlemaster is a Super Famicom fighting game, which is I saw on what's that channel that I watch on YouTube? No crumpets, no tea, just games. Yes. No tea, no, yeah. So Battlemaster.
Battlemaster.
Not to be confused with Battlemaster for the PS1, which I discovered recently, which looks like a pile of arse.
Cool.
It's horrible. Picked up a bundle of light gun games, Area 51, Time Crisis Project Titan, and Judge Dredd for just £7.80.
I'd completely forgotten about Area 51.
Yeah.
I played the shit out of that game in arcade. Arcade
classic.
Yeah.
I went and purchased that Game Boy, Japanese Game Boy copy of Lemmings.
Yeah, you got it with the sexy box.
With a sexy box.
Sexy box.
A cover which I don't have. This was a cover which was on the FM Towns version of Lemmings, okay. I think, and a few other computer-based systems.
Yeah.
Really nice cover.
It is a really good box.
Really hard to find this cover, so to get the Game Boy version with that was cool.
How much did I set you back?
35.
Ooh,
I've seen it go for cheaper.
You may have slightly overpaid for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there you go. I also picked up Sonic and Knuckles for the Mega Drive.
What?
Mm. I don't have a box copy of it.
Really?
No. So I have a butchered box copy of it because my copy is in a VHS case.
Oh,
where someone's
yeah.
cut the cover out and put it in. I've always wanted to be able to line it up along with my other proudly Sonic games. And this has quite a delicate cardboard box.
It does, yeah. I've always wondered about this.
There's a copy I picked up to show Matt there. Yeah. It says everything's there, the instruction manual, the inner case, slightly ripped inner case. It's hard to find one that isn't.
Yeah, I know. From
but
experience.
Outer case, very clean, very nice.
That's good.
That was, what was that, $26.80.
Shit.
Well, but I've seen postage. It go for, yeah, I've seen it go for more.
Man, that's such a common, well, like, saying that, like, such a common game was the words that came out of my mouth. Like, I mean, Link to the Past is the best-selling game on the Super Nintendo, and box copies that go for £80 now. It's madness.
Anything that's popular. Sonic CD is a common game, and yet you can't get it for £25.
So did you.
You know. But I have it. Yeah,
yeah, now you
CD.
Do.
Time Crisis 3.
Yeah.
That was very PS2. Cheap, under £4 with postage.
I might even have Time Crisis 3. You could have had a copy. I would have given it to you.
Oh, I didn't know.
I think I may have bought it in like one of these crazy GameStop bundles we had at one point.
But as you can see, that's you know, quite a lot within the last week. And
shit.
You think about, so you know, I'm trying to cut down eBay now and just think about saving some money for the future, actually. I've got a few things still left on my watch list, such as a copy Street Fighter 03 for PS1 with a very nice controller. Which is a PS1 fighting controller, which you can't see a picture of. It's all
so
blurry.
So you're literally watching this copy of Alpha 3 because you want the fight
controller.
Stick. Okay.
But it comes with a nice, you know, it looks nice, the packaging for that one.
It's the same as the European packaging, though.
It's zero, not Alpha.
Come on, Tom.
I don't have it on PS1.
You don't have Alpha on PS1?
I have it on Dreamcast.
No, I have
which
Alpha
is
on
a
PS1.
Superior version, but there you go.
I will have to check. Maybe I have a spare copy that you can have.
What, Alpha on PS1?
Yeah. Maybe.
Mm. That would be interesting.
I will
have
a look.
Thank
if I
you,
have
Matthew.
One in Denmark, then I have a spare one because I never brought any of my PS1 games over other than Sega then.
Have you picked up any games in the last week?
My game purchases in the last week have actually been very, very light on the ground.
Okay.
I picked up a copy of Splinter Cell Conviction for the Xbox 360 because it was.
Oh, yeah. Did you get that from Blue City?
I did not. I bought it in a local charity shop for a whopping
good.
10 kroner.
That's where I feel I want to do my game purchasing now.
What?
More in charity shops and at car boots and on eBay.
See? You got the bug now. Now you've been there. Now you witnessed the glory.
It's more about the money, I can say.
You could have made a killing in the past 3 years if you would have come with me on magical adventures
well,
on
I'm
the weekend.
I'm always up for it. You were getting up too early.
Yeah, I was getting up at reasonable times to travel like an hour's drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll invite you. I'll keep you informed.
But
I
think that's a good way of slowing down my game purchasing and maybe saving some money and having a bit of an adventure along the way instead of sitting behind a computer and purchasing stuff on eBay and getting sent to the UK and going back and find 59 games.
Well, it's always good to be into them, isn't it? It's like going home for Christmas.
It
and
is
just get
always
all these fucking games.
I mean, I'm very excited to enjoy these things I've purchased, but it's also a little bit scary.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought that. I picked up a copy of Bravely Second yesterday.
You went for it, a new release.
I did, yeah, and in Danish prices, no less. It's just because I saw it and I was like, well, if there is one JRPG I've played in the last like 3 or 4 years that I actually really enjoyed, it's Bravely Default.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result of that, I thought, well, I should probably buy the second when it's new to send the positive sign of, hey, people want this game, because I will play it.
There was a bit of that with me with Street Fighter.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to purchase it. To support it, you wanted to get behind it. Because I like the franchise. And,
yeah, so I picked it up. I've still got to beat Bravely Default, to be honest with you. I'm on Chapter 6 of 7, or the end of Chapter 5, going into Chapter 6. Because it's a very long game. I'm like 30 hours into it. However, I haven't played it for like a year at this point, so trying to go back into that's hard. But the reason I stopped playing it was because my jobs weren't really adequate for the end game stuff, so I need to grind anyway, so I'm hoping I can do a bit of that and get back into it that way.
Yeah, it's like me picking up Pokemon Yellow after I don't know how many years and finding that I'd done every gym. I just had to do the Elite Four. And so that's where I'm at now.
Have you got all your Pokemon on Pokemon Blue yet?
Oh no, I never did. There's one more I need to
get. What are you missing? Because I have my copy of Yellow in Denmark.
It's just I need to evolve a Pokemon. I was just waiting for the right time to do it.
Oh yeah, you wanted to do it on top of a mountain. We need to film that for the podcast, seriously. That needs to be a blast process.
I mean, if you can get me to a mountain, then I'll...
Tom, I have a car. There's not many mountains in Denmark, but I'm sure I can get you to one.
Get me to the highest point in Denmark. It's not that far away. I've been there before.
Let's do it. Yeah, let's do that. Shit, I completely forgot what I was talking about.
You were talking about Bravely Second.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And
so
how you were going back to Bravely Default.
I need
after
to beat
a long
Bravely
time.
Default.
Yeah.
Other than that, I picked up Metal Slug and beat Metal Slug for the PlayStation 3, the original arcade game.
You downloaded that, did
I'd
you?
Never beaten it. I played a game called Terrifying 9/11, which will be my biographic this week. It's an absolutely perfect Metal Gear, Metal Slug Game Boy Color port.
Of course, like, Metal Slug was never on the Game Boy Color.
It was not officially. This is an unofficial release. However, it's got a lot of horrible 9/11 things in it.
Oh, within the game?
Yes. That's why I wanted to borrow a copy of Cannon Fodder from you, because it's actually full motion video of... Yeah, it's very bad taste. But it needs to be seen to be believed, because the game of Metal Slug that is there within it, if you can skip through all this bullshit, is fantastic.
Is it available in any other format
it
without all this
not,
9/11
no.
crap?
Yeah. I'm hoping, like, I'm not going to go too in-depth because I've still got to publish the biographic video on it, but like, I'm hoping out there somewhere there exists either a copy of this game without this stuff in, because obviously it looks more like this has been hacked in after the fact to me, or that someone out there has got the ROM that's currently been dumped and is editing this shit out of it.
Has it got its own storyline as you going out there to kill Bin Laden?
Well, like, Bin Laden and Bush are chatting to each other between missions. It's very surreal. Yeah.
Right.
There's like a back and forth. It's really weird. But as a result of that, I bought Metal Slug. Because
you enjoyed...
Well, this game is Metal Slug.
Yeah.
I wanted to record some footage just to show how alike these games are. And then, because I'd beaten the Game Boy Color version, I knew where all the enemy spawns and all of the things. So I was like, well, now is probably the best time for me to go back and beat this game I've wanted to beat since I was 10. And I did on, like, 3 credits.
Oh, that's impressive that you did it on that little credits. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, a Game Boy version is so unforgiving that the arcade version, where you can see everything clearly and there's some crazy screen tear.
Can imagine like, okay. the... animation's not quite as good on the Game Boy.
You would be pleasantly surprised. Really? You even do the crazy, like, flail on the edge of a platform thing.
Okay.
It is, like, it is so Metal Slug, down to the fact that if you jump off of the platforms on the third stage when you're climbing the mountain too early, you will die. It is precisely the same game, other than the fourth and
fifth
stage.
It's a very good port, then, of essentially... Metal Slug.
I've already said enough about it, but it is the most technically impressive Game Boy game I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Because we didn't get a Metal Slug until the Game Boy Advance.
No, we didn't. It also blows every other Metal Slug portable game I've played out of the water.
Mm.
It is insane. But check it out. It'll be on
probably
the channel.
Probably not the PSP one, though. The anthology.
Well, no, obviously, but come on, like, yeah. For an 8-bit system, yeah. I mean. Yeah, so as a result of that, I played that, I also beat that. However, I was telling you before this, I'm kind of doing a thing finally to kind of celebrate the fact that I have a full Game Boy collection.
Oh yeah. And while you're going to fill the bathtub full of Game Boy games,
yes,
and get in there.
And splash in them, as I promised on this Pirate podcast. No, like I was just going through them today, just like doing some stuff and preparing some things.
Yes.
And I noticed, Thomas.
Oh yes. What did you notice?
That in my naivete of being an early Game Boy collector, that my copy of Top Gun Guts and Glory was a fake.
Oh no!
Shock.
This means
horror.
You haven't got a full Game Boy collection.
But I have, because I just went on eBay and bought it, because it's like £3. So that'll be you tomorrow.
No other fakes then?
No. The entire thing I went through, like a few damaged cart labels, a few with like scribbled people's names on the back, but then Top Gun Guts and Glory, which is a game I give no shits about. I've even got a Japanese one, so like.
Did I tell you Claire's got a sealed version of Star Trek Next Generation on Game Boy?
Really?
Yeah.
Seriously.
She got it for next to nothing as well, yeah. And that was the game that you were looking for such a long time.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Oh, she had it after, I think. You know, it wasn't that she'd had it for all these years or anything. She purchased it fairly recently.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Good effort.
Yeah. She likes Star Trek.
Yeah, I know she does. Tell her I'll swap her.
I don't think she's learned to part with that one.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No.
Yeah, but that's literally it for me. I've picked up nothing.
Well, I picked up a few Amiibos. Oh, you look confused.
What?
Amiibos.
You bought Amiibos?
Yeah, well, I found Mewtwo online. Did I tell you this? For a very reasonable price.
You didn't tell me this.
£7.
Okay.
I liked the sculpt of Mewtwo. I think it looks very cool.
Right.
So at that price, I'll pick that up.
Okay.
Yeah. I also picked up Tomodachi Life with it for $12.99.
Oh, that's all right. I wouldn't mind playing Tomodachi Life.
The Inkling Girl, I picked up for £8 on Amazon.
That's right.
And I pre-ordered Ryu at $10.99.
It's all right.
Happy about that.
Seen the squid for 140 kroner in GameStop.
Oh, right, yeah. GameStop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I nearly bought a Tom Nook and a Mr. Rossetti yesterday. I wasn't proud of myself. I bought Bravely Second instead, though, so something could come out. Because I picked them up. I was like, I could just buy Bravely Second. And I just put them down and bought Bravely Second.
Good work, you know. I downloaded a few games. I don't know if I mentioned in the week, I downloaded Contra 3 on the Wii U.
You did not? The Alien Wars?
Yes. Very good, very hard.
This is a fucking amazing game. It's solid, though.
It is, you know, but it's the kind of game that's solid, but you keep playing it.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those games. See, I love that you've got this, finally, and not just like, with this.
It's rewarding, isn't it?
It is.
You have to keep replaying it over and over again to get good at it. Tengami, I mentioned maybe last week.
You did mention Tengami, yeah.
And I just bought Velocibox on the PS4, which you had a quick go of earlier.
Bloody odd game, that.
Yeah, it's an endless runner type thing. You're a box being fired down a corridor at light speed, and you have to avoid obstacles.
Yeah, by either rotating or pressing X to flip the screen. It's fucking hard.
Yeah. But again, it's addictive.
Yeah, very good.
I don't think I mentioned the other week that I picked up Guitar Hero Live.
No, you did not.
I picked that up for a bargain at 300 kroner.
Cool.
Oh my gosh. You know, that's less than half price.
Yeah, it's very
good.
Quite
a bit less than half price. And that game, it's a refreshing change. You know, the new button setup on the neck of the guitar.
It looks like a nice guitar too.
It takes a little bit to get used to because it's very subtle on screen, the difference between which level you should be playing on. It's indicated by a plectrum, which is either pointing up or down. Pointing down, you play on the bottom half. Pointing up, you play in the top half. But they're grey, and so they kind of look the same.
Yeah.
So you have to get used to that.
Okay.
I didn't like when you're playing with a band from first person perspective.
Yeah.
Because I found the actors or the look, the attitude of the band they picked was irritating.
Well, it needs to be. They got to be like showy, because I mean,
they've got to be over the top and exaggerated, but they're all a little bit, their identity is a little bit too modern and young. And
well, yeah, but I mean,
yeah, I didn't like that.
It's because everyone else buying this game, for the most part, this aimed at a younger demographic. And I mean, fucking boring would it be if you were watching someone play Guitar Hero and it was just a regular band? Also, the fact that you were watching them in the corner of your eye, if they weren't being over the top.
The thing about that, though, is you can't pay any attention to it.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, imagine how subtle their movements would be if they were actually just playing. You would ignore them completely.
Sure, but they don't have to be so bloody irritating about it. And they really are.
Really? You know,
so I can't do with that mode.
Interesting.
I much prefer playing with a music video in the background.
Oh, you curmudgeon.
It's terrible, isn't it?
Because you're telling them to get off your lawn.
Yeah, these kids.
It's an FMV game. I can't believe you're not into it.
I much preferred playing along with the Bowie track when Bowie was in the background. That was more pleasing,
I bet,
for me than these bunch of kids, you know, whining that I was missing the notes.
So you were being shit and they were then irritating you because they were calling you out on it.
And yeah, didn't like it.
Oh, diddums.
But it's fun and it was cheap and quite happy with it. And it's got this interesting thing of there's always people to compete against online.
Yeah.
So you're playing a song and you can see in real time a list of other people playing the song and how well you're doing. Song finishes, you can finish on top.
Yeah, it's all on a playlist, right? So, yeah. I mean, yeah.
And that's really nice. And I hope, you know, the support for Wii U keeps up. Because, of course, the Wii U is going to be the first of these next-gen consoles to go.
Yeah.
And my worry was perhaps support for this game will disappear when the Wii U disappears. Whereas on the other consoles, it's probably got a longer lifespan.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a shame. But I like something about Guitar Hero games on a Wii that just rings true for me. And I already picked up Rock Band 4 on the PS4, so yeah. I don't think I'm missing out on my next-gen Rock Band fix. I also played a bit of Captain Toad.
Yes, good game.
That's fun. Great fun. To nice. Sure. Just early morning bash on that last weekend.
Some early morning Sunday. Toad.
Yeah, that was nice. I've been playing Destiny somewhat.
Yeah, you showed me your lady as she stared intently out the window.
Yeah, really enjoying Destiny.
It's a good game, isn't
it? I am enjoying the RPG-like elements as well of it. Actually, considering I don't like RPGs, but I like that the majority of the game is action-based, and it's a good entry point for that type of gameplay.
It is.
I think.
And you give no shits about loot, so it won't get its claws into
you. That's it. You know, if I get a new thing, I'll get the new coat on. And
wait until you get a sexy new helmet. It's funny. You're like, wow, but I could get a sexy new helmet.
Last night, this morning, I was waking up, and I was thinking, what if, right, I had all blue outfit and red shoes, I'd look like Sonic the Hedgehog. That's funny how I woke with this waking thought of that.
What you want to look like in Destiny?
Like I thought it was the best thing ever.
Oh boy.
It's one of those things that you have where you're half asleep and you think it's amazing and you wake up and you realize, what? That isn't that great, is it really?
That's your subconscious going like, oh, I could do a bit more loot. Yeah.
So it's actually sunk its way into there.
I get you, mate. Watch yourself.
That's no good, is it?
No, otherwise you're going to be on a couch on a Wednesday. Everyone's going to come around for World Simmer Wednesday and you'll be there like a slob with a half-eaten fajita playing Destiny going, don't look at me!
No. No, I won't get there.
I will help you not get there. It's fine. To remind you how much...
Sorry.
No, I was just sorry. It's a throwaway comment of a cheap knock at Destiny. I will rise above it.
Okay, well, I can segue that into a cheap pickup that I forgot to mention. Left your place last week, I picked up Forza Horizon 2 for 50 kroner.
You did, yeah.
Excitedly texted you about it.
Yeehaw.
Completing my Forza collection.
Yes, the Forza Trinity is now...
50 kroner. Could not believe it.
Yeah, it's okay.
I've not played it yet, because I still haven't finished with Forza Horizon 1, but... You know, such is the way with these bargain video games. Now, I wanted to ask you, how's your Xbox One experience going?
You've witnessed my Xbox One experience because I've literally played Ori the Blind Forest that one time and then never turned it on again.
It's all about one.
Yeah.
One game, one time, Xbox One.
One desire, yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I have to say, for me, it's my Halo and Forza machine and... occasionally rare replay, but having the PS4, it's like there's certain things I really like about it, certain things I don't like about it, and we've talked about these before, but I was eager to feel how from you what you felt about it.
I give no shits. I hate that user interface. I can't help it.
That ruins it for you. Is there anything forthcoming you're excited about that's exclusive to Xbox One?
Recore.
Because that's when you're proper spend some proper time with it, I imagine. Game you really want to play.
Well, I mean, I got Rare Replay. I've really wanted to play that for a long time because I really want to replay Jet Force Gemini. But at the same time, I'm not really enticed to play Jet Force Gemini. You know what I mean? Like, when the only thing in my eyes a system's got going for it is a fucking 15-year-old N64 title, then you should really be worried. Sad but true. Like, the only thing else I wanted to play was Ori and the Blind Forest, and I'm not even really that bowled over by Ori.
No,
that intro was amazing, the gameplay beyond that just seems a bit tame. It seems like I've done it before.
Some people swear by that console. You know, people love the Xbox One.
They don't get it, though. Like, I've had a better console for 2.5 years, so it's just, I just can't fathom it. Like, and to say that dashboard was even fucking worse like a couple of months ago just boggles my mind, because it's terrible.
You know, I like the controller, though.
The controller's okay. Like,
I do like the controller.
I find it a bit cumbersome, but I think that's something you just get used to.
Yeah.
I just want games for it. Like,
is it worth at this point having both the Xbox One and the PS4?
I don't really think so.
I don't think it is.
I don't think there's really any special things about the PS4, to be honest, over the Xbox Ones in terms of exclusives, because there's not really a lot.
Apart from Rapture.
But I mean, like, you know what I mean? There's small games you can also play on a PC.
Yeah.
But
Street Fighter 5?
Yeah, no, Street Fighter 5. But I mean, at the end of the day, like, short, it comes down to the user.
There's as much on Xbox One that's exclusive that's interesting as there is on PS4, I think. So really, is the user interface is, for me, the only thing that really separates the two, and it's not as good on Xbox One.
It's just a joy to use. Like,
and that front end of a games console now is more important than ever. All the options that you can...
It just baffles me, man. Like, my girlfriend, who is not a gamer in any stretch of the imagination, can quite happily turn on a PS4 and get to Netflix, which is all she pretty much uses that console for, other than Fez. I got her on a big Fez kick a couple of months back. But she has no interest in that console other than viewing Netflix. She can do that quite easily. She could do it on the 360 very easily. I'd set it up on the Xbox One because at the time it was plugged in and she couldn't do it.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, seeing as this console was supposed to be the one thing in your living room that everyone can use.
What you want to do is pin it to the front. That's what I've discovered recently.
Why should I have to do that?
I say, no, but if you want easy access to anything, pin it to the front page. And that's the best way. Otherwise, it doesn't do that as default.
I watched a thing earlier by a product designer. I can't remember the dude's name. Oh, God. I'm going to Google his name very, very quickly. I can't. My phone's over there. I'm not going to do it. Anyways, I saw this thing about a Norman Doe.
What?
And it's a very famous product designer, and his name escapes me. And he wrote a book on, like, the design of everyday objects that's very, very famous. And I'm going to sound like a shit for not remembering it, because it's one of those things, as a designer, you're supposed to know. It's like the design of everyday objects.
I don't judge you.
Or something like that, the name of the book is. I can't quite remember. But essentially, a Norman Doe is his description of a really bad design. It's like, you know when you go into a restaurant or into a shop and the door is completely the opposite of what you expect?
When you door? Like,
yeah, you know when you go to open a door when it's either push or pull?
Okay.
And then you pull it and then it doesn't go, because you actually have to push it even though it's got a handle.
Okay, yeah, sure.
And then it may have a sign saying push, because you need to be aware that it's push. He's saying that door, that is such a basic object that we have had a human understanding of for years. It should be a good design door. We're at the stage where we know what a door is, we know how to make a door. You shouldn't have to have instructions for a door.
No way.
I would also argue the same for the Xbox. We have had 3 fucking Xboxes. The first 2 of them worked fine. Why the fuck should I have to pin something to the top? Why is your user face so fucking clunky?
It goes back to
And why
Windows,
is it full of adverts? Why is it full of fucking adverts? Why are there adverts there? Why can't I just access the fucking games from the first thing? Why are you trying to sell me more
at
products?
Least that did creep in, though, in 360, the ads did.
Eventually. But I could still just press right once and I was at games.
They weren't as in your face as they are in the Xbox One.
No.
Yes. But as I say, it goes back to Windows, isn't it? And this new Windows, which was it?
Windows 10.
Windows 10. This strange thing of them trying to compete with Apple and make some sort of clean cube-based interface.
Well, they've tried that for a long time. They tried that with Windows 8 as well. It was the whole idea that they wanted their UI to be the same as on their phone.
Yeah.
And it didn't quite work. Those who liked it swore by it, but it never really did anything for me. It was okay. Like, I have a Windows 8 laptop and it worked fine. Like, they've got to find
another way to do something simply that is different enough from Apple's way. That's how I feel about it. You know, that essentially what the iOS is incredibly simple and straightforward, and they can't do it exactly the same like Android is, perhaps.
Yeah.
So they want to put this spin on it, but really, you know, that's not working, I don't think.
Well, like, to be honest with you, the underlying problem of the entire fucking thing is, to me, the fact that when I turn on a Windows PC, be it a Windows 10 or Windows 8 or whatever, I will always just go back to the standard desktop view, because there is always a button that says desktop.
Yeah.
Because the user interface is trying to be tablet-based, so they can use it across phones, they can use it across everything else.
But it's not what, what you expect. It's not what you want. It's like the door thing.
Yeah.
When you switch on a PC, you want it to be a certain way.
And an Apple is. Like, a Mac, for better or worse, like, is. You've still got a dock. You've still got all these things Windows does. So they did it in a smarter way that no one can obviously emulate for, like, copyright reasons with software.
But as I say, Android is very similar, isn't it?
It is on phones, but I mean, like, you can't. You can get a Chromebook and they're apparently terrible.
Okay.
So.
Right.
I don't know.
There we go.
I'm not bowled over by it, Tom. Like,
the Xbox One.
I've never been less excited to get a new piece of hardware.
Mm.
I was more excited to buy a Virtual Boy, which is a console that is notorious for being shit, just because it was something different.
Yeah.
And this, like, aesthetically, other than its size, it's a very nice console.
How about mine?
The controller's very good. Yeah, yours makes Halo sound effects that no one knows.
But it looks nice.
It does look nice.
With its shimmering.
I mean, it looks like a big thing. It looks like this, like, you know, it looks like this is the one thing you should have in your living room. It looks like it's going to do everything.
Yeah.
And it just fucking doesn't. It's just so wanky. It's just so annoying.
Okay, I think we should start talking about it now. Like, we know that Matt isn't bothered with Xbox One. When you've experienced something on Xbox One, tell us, that you really like.
Then
otherwise, we'll just leave this kind of check-in at there for now.
I'll bring it up when I want to. Yeah. I mean, like, Below's coming out. I'm going to play Quantum.
What? Blow?
Below.
Below?
Yes.
Oh, right.
A new game by Capybara.
I thought it was going to be a game based on the Johnny Depp movie.
No, not Blow. there's also Recall, like I said, later in the year. There's another one. Now, Quantum Break, I want to play because I really like Remedy titles.
Yeah.
But I just don't know. I just don't know if I care. I just don't know if I should have bought an Xbox One. And that is like...
Yeah. Well, I'm sort of in the same ballpark. I knew going into buying it, it wasn't necessary. It was a nice Christmas treat.
I bought it because it was insanely cheap.
Did you get it boxed?
I did.
The experience of opening that box. One thing they've got really right is packaging.
Yes,
agree. My lord. The way they package the Xbox One makes it feel like a premiere product.
Yes,
it
does.
It feel like it's expensive.
It does.
In comparison to the PS4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird though, right? Because, I mean, I wasn't missing that sense of grandeur when I opened the PS4. I just pulled it out and played it.
But I did.
But it was an experience. Yeah, like, you know, they obviously clearly saw the rise of, like, unboxing videos and they thought, hey, let's do something with this. Let's make this something worth doing. It is an experience. And I mean, mine was pre-owned, but it was still, like, it had been used once, so everything just went back in the same bags and whatever. Like, everything was still where it should be, because the kid had played it once and went, no, I don't want one of those, I want a PS4.
Really?
Reason. His mum had bought it for him for Christmas, and he tried it once. Like, he redeemed the FIFA code and then said, like, no, I want a PS4. With a good fucking reason.
There's been a few new releases this week. We touched upon Bravely Second.
Yeah.
But Far Cry Primal also came out this past week. You heard much about the game? I've heard it's got pretty good reviews. It's not like top, but it's
good. I hear it's pretty medical from people I know who own it. Yeah. Yeah. It's not an English lesson.
Sounds like some sort of mythical creature.
It's because there's something stupid like that said in fucking advanced
sounds
warfare.
Like a Pokemon.
I'm not thinking. I'm so enraged by the Xbox One. Sorry.
Yeah,
it's mediocre.
Far Cry Primal.
Yeah, it's just got some very average reviews.
Well, our friend Martin was very excited, so much so he bought a PS4 to play Far Cry Primal. So it's definitely got a lot of people excited because it's quite, I guess, quite unique.
Yeah, it is. I hear there's a lot of focus on the crafting aspect, which is not something I really like doing in Far Cry games.
Don't they?
They do, but it seems to be the whole focus of the game. The one thing I've heard is essentially it feels like it should have been a Blood Dragon-sized experience that's been expanded a bit beyond that. And I'm not sure I'm okay with that. Because, Blood Dragon kind of outstayed its welcome. I
think of Ubisoft kind of using the Far Cry brand as they are.
It's very odd, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, like, I just guess they got to get some games out this year. Like,
yeah, because they didn't need to call it Far Cry, but I guess that helps them.
Yeah, of course.
Because it's a known franchise.
Justifies you paying £40 for it as well. I mean, you know, if it was just called, like, Primal Cavemen, da-da-da-da-da. Then you wouldn't pay £40 for it. But I mean, all the Far Cry stuff's there. All like the base capturing and all of this kind of stuff, all the crafting, all the wildlife, all the open world.
I think that they're quite clever in that respect with both the Assassin's Creed series and the Far Cry series. They're just afraid it's still becoming a bit the
stale.
Death of, unique original IPs. Everyone's scared to go down that route. No, they're not, though, are they? Because there are. Plenty of new IP. The Recall you mentioned, and Horizon Dawn.
Yeah, Horizon Zero Dawn.
Whatever it's called.
Quantum Break as well.
Yeah, Quantum Break's a game I can't say I'm pretty interested in, but I might be surprised by it.
I just really liked Alan Wake, so I'm just I'll try
Remedy.
It.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like.
Oh, that might be an Xbox One clincher for you.
It's one I'm going to buy. It's one of the ones I was like, okay, what is coming out over the next couple of months before I make this complete impulse purchase? And it was like, okay, I'm going to play that game.
I'm buying Rare's pirate game.
Yeah, when that comes out, I'll buy it.
Yeah.
I want to see reviews first, though, because it's not the same Rare, but we'll see.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Also, Pokemon games have been re-released on Virtual Console. How do you feel about that?
I'm kind of okay with it. I'm more excited, however, for the announcement of Pokemon Sun and Moon and the new generation of Pokemon titles.
Yes, which we've seen very little of, apart from the video which was championing its... variety of languages the game is available in, more than anything else. It didn't give a lot away, but it was a celebration of 20 years.
And yes, it was.
How popular Pokemon is around the world.
Very nice little commercial
it
as
was
well.
Nice.
Did you watch the whole Direct?
Yeah.
I didn't see, I only saw that video.
That was it, that was the main focus of the whole Direct.
Yeah, that's
other
what I heard.
These downloadable games are compatible with the new game.
Which gives me incentive to go back and play it. It's a very interesting thing, though, is because they change how Pokemon work between Generation 1 and Generation 2. So the way Pokemon's mechanics work of, like, special attack and stuff is very different in the first generation Pokemon games.
It has changed a lot.
How it is in the second.
I've transferred a Pokemon over from the original game, which is as it is, as far as
I
know.
Yes, it is.
Into a new game. That something's going to have to change in between when the Pokemon gets transferred over,
And I mean, there were some things I was reading essentially last night with the competitive Pokemon scene, because I have a few Twitter followers who are very much into Pokemon, and I've been watching their channels when they've been talking about these things. They haven't made a video of this, they're just kind of catching bits of conversation and then checking up on it and going, oh yeah, well shit, I remember these changes. Apparently they're afraid that even though you will be able to capture these Pokemon and obviously trade them over, there's a very real fear that the Pokemon from the first generation, unless they have some weird algorithm that kind of levels them accordingly based on special stats, that you'd be left with a load of really medicore Pokemon.
Oh, did it again!
I'm going to call it medicore. This is the name of this podcast now. Mediocre Pokemon that you can't use in tournament play. And obviously, there's things like Charizard and like Mewtwo and all of these things you can catch in this game, which, from the sounds of things, I guess, won't be in this game if you can capture them in this game.
No, I don't.
And then it's like, well, how the hell do you do it? Like, what do you do with them?
Yeah. Oh, Interesting.
It's interesting. Like, for me, that's
not something I'm going to take advantage of, because I don't want to rebuy Pokemon. I don't feel the need to play through that again in order to
see the reason I
copy them.
I'm umming and ahhing and I'm on the fence is because I really, really love Pokemon. I had an argument with one of our colleagues, Angel, one of our new graphic designers, the other day, because he doesn't rate Pokemon. And I said, you like, even if you don't like Pokemon, you've got to, like, Pokemon is a good game. It there is no argument great.
I mean,
of how
I,
good
I
Pokemon
did just
is.
Say, you know, I wouldn't replay it. I wouldn't buy it again to replay it. I'd happily replay it, as I am now, Pokemon Yellow, but to buy it again,
I love it.
I have it enough.
However, there will come a time where I'm going to need to cover that for Biographic.
Oh, Pokemon. Yeah.
And that means I'm going to play the shit out of all of them again. Right. Fortunately, I was very forward-thinking enough that my copy of Pokemon Yellow, as long as my battery holds out, touch wood,
has
151 Pokemon. Yeah. So I have a way of getting there and going, like, going to see Professor Oak and going, like, yay, we got 151 Pokemon, here's a special.
So you can record that bit.
Yeah, so I can record that bit. However, like, I want to play through Red and Blue again and, like, actually show off those games. I don't think I need
to
sell
one of them. You don't need to play through both of them because it's the same game.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm gonna show the differences between them. I'm going to review them as one version, but obviously I want to show some of the earlier stuff, at least in terms of, like, different Pokemon. I'm not going to get
I can't remember
to, like,
if there's many different things in the story. There is in Yellow and the others, but...
Yellow is a completely different story. Red and Blue don't. It's not even like X and Y and Ruby and Sapphire, where the name of Team Rocket changes. It's the same game, other than Pokemon changes.
Well, I remember.
I think you can also trade. No, you can't. Sorry, that's Green. I'm getting confused now. In Green, you can trade certain Pokemon for other Pokemon, and obviously the portraits are different in Green than they are in Red and Blue. So I'll probably do all of those as one review, I think.
Pokemon Green.
I have Pokemon Green. Pokemon Red in Japan is also a different game to the Pokemon Red we got.
Really?
Yeah, but
not exactly the same as Blue.
Have I not told you about this? Essentially, Pokemon Red and Green were the first Pokemon games that launched 20 years ago.
Yeah. I know that much.
As of yesterday, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
They came out, they were in the market for about a year and a half. But there are some glitches with those copies of the game. There are some differences in the Pokemon you can catch in each version, as well as there being one or two other things. Like, I think you can get more than one Eevee, perhaps. That could be totally wrong. There's more than one Pokemon you can only get one version of in the other ones. You can get multiple versions of in Red and Green.
Okay.
So to fix these glitches and to address some other issues they had with the game in terms of balancing, and they also believe that some of the Pokemon portraits weren't very nice. Some of the visual aesthetics of some of the Pokemon they weren't really that happy with.
In both Red and Green.
Yes, in both Red and Green.
Because they have the same portraits.
They have the same portraits. They then released Pokemon Blue in Japan,
which is what we got.
A fixed version.
Yeah.
Then when they brought it west, they made Pokemon Blue, obviously they published it as was, and they made a version of Red using that game's engine. They used all the tweaks. Believe it or not, Satoru Iwata is one of the people responsible for us getting Pokemon in any shape or form, because he's the one who backwards engineered it all.
He did a lot of good stuff.
He did a lot of good stuff. But yeah, so very slightly different games, actually, in terms of stats and everything.
That
on the Pokemon
will be interesting to see in your video.
Yes, it will. I'll cover that completely.
Thank you, Matthew.
No
sounds
worries.
Like going to be a lot of work, though.
Oh, it'll be worth
but
it.
But fun.
I'm thinking of doing it for the 75th episode, actually, so it's not even really that long off, so maybe I should start playing some Pokemon in my spare time anyway.
Yeah, well, it's a perfect time to jump back on the Pokemon wagon.
I do like Pokemon.
I'm still playing Ruby as we speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anywho. Not as we speak, obviously, because...
Yeah, of course, I'd be very impressed with your multitasking skills if that was the case. Mine are very medical, but...
okay.
Yeah, but other than that, there's another bit of news that's kind of slipped under the radar. It's not really been reported on most of the main video gaming websites, so it may be a bit of a hot scoop. But it is still a rumour.
Is that a new part of the show?
Hot scoop
time. core.
There was actually, as I said, I follow a lot of people on Twitter and they follow me back who are very much invested in Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
They happened to find out the day before the Direct that the new Pokemon games were called Sun and Moon.
Sun and Moon.
They had also seen the logos a day before because there was a hiccup with the Spanish gaming website who had listed them for pre-order preemptively.
Oh.
However, in realizing that, hey, this Spanish gaming website has things up for pre-order a bit too preemptively, it's a very big Spanish chain, they data farmed their website, which is how they found the logos.
Data farm?
You know, they go through all of the like HTML files and find broken links and reactivate them and stuff. But other than just finding the logos for these two Pokemon games, they found a placeholder box art for Battlefield 5 with a release date of October 29th, 2016. Even larger than that, Thomas.
Oh, what could be larger?
They found that apparently the NX was listed for a quarter three release, 2016.
Okay, not too surprised by
with
that.
With a copy of Zelda NX.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, they're doing it again, aren't they?
They are.
They're going to release it on both?
I think so.
I think they've got to release it on Wii U. There's no way that's not going to happen.
There's no way it's going to not come out on the Wii U. But it seems that they're going that way again. Seems like they're doing that Twilight Princess.
And that's probably why Zelda's been delayed so much, because they're optimizing it for the NX.
I would imagine they're probably making a very large open world game that really need some extra processing power.
Think that they'll differ, the two versions?
I think the version for the NX will probably be the superior version this time around. I don't think
it won't be exactly the same like the... saying that, Twilight Princess wasn't exactly the same.
No, it wasn't.
No, it had the motion controls and flipped, but...
But I mean...
There wasn't a big
difference. Let's be honest, you like, we've played LEGO City Undercover.
Mm.
It's a good game.
Yeah.
But not without its problems, namely the load time. Because you have to render that giant open world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know Nintendo are better optimizing their games than anyone else, and I know this is a late Wii U title.
Because it's also great that you don't have to like install so much. You still have to install things on a Wii U, but that's one of the most refreshing things about it compared to the others.
Yeah, but I'm very curious to see.
Does that mean they're going to move to Blu-ray?
I would imagine so.
Which will force... installs.
Maybe.
Which is one thing about this generation I don't like, 40 gig installs.
Hey, I'm good if it comes with a fucking terabyte hard drive. If it comes with one of those
It's got to come with a big hard drive. Nintendo, don't make the same mistake again and give your console a tiny hard drive.
Oh my god. Like,
maybe it's just about manageable with a Wii U, but it won't be.
It fucking isn't. Tell me, take it from someone with a 4 gigabyte console. I can't play Smash Brothers anymore. Did you know this? I can't physically play Smash Brothers.
Yeah, I can imagine. But 4 gigs, ridiculous. I mean, what have I got? What's the regular one?
It's 32.
Is it 32?
It's 32 gig.
Okay, that's just about manageable for me, personally.
Smash Brothers is now a 6 gigabyte game. I cannot play Smash Brothers anymore.
Do you feel that bad about that?
No, I don't really care.
You did buy a game that now
you
can't play.
I did buy a game that I now can't play.
Unless you buy some external
storage. Unless I buy an external fucking hard drive. What sense does that make? I know they're obviously banking on the fact most people have a 32 gig, but I mean, like, don't fucking spite your user base. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Make it an optional download.
It's very unfortunate that happened. I don't think Nintendo ever wanted that to happen, but they want to, they're weighing up, you know, what they can do with Smash Brothers.
Man, why the fuck did you put I can buy a fucking 16 gig memory stick for, like, £3. Why didn't you put more memory in that fucking system?
They didn't plan that out very well.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, but Nintendo usually do this. They make a mistake, and then they'll come back and they'll have improved.
I don't know, Tom.
Not always fixed everything totally, but they improved. I think the Wii U, at least the online side of things, is heavily improved.
Yeah,
the,
and they
the
keep
Wii, at least.
Remaking it better.
Yeah.
Have you registered for your Nintendo account, actually?
What?
They opened registry for the new Nintendo accounts.
There's another new one.
The new Nintendo
because
accounts.
It doesn't feel so long since I...
Yeah,
set
I felt
up another
same.
New one.
But you can link that one now and it'll transfer all your stuff over.
I'll
but
link
obviously
the other one.
I had nothing really of value on my slipper sniffer account. So I just created the new one.
I didn't know there was a new one.
There's a new one. It's going to work with that mobile app thing they're doing of the Miis.
As long as it's easy enough to upgrade to the new one.
Yeah, you just link it. You just you go on there and it's like sign in the Nintendo ID. As a Nintendo website, yeah. Oh. It's only actually available in UK, US, Mexico,
not
France and Germany, I think.
Not Denmark.
Not Denmark.
But you did it in the UK.
I just did it as a UK account. Oh, yeah. Like
I'm always on UK accounts.
I know you do. Like, to be honest, all of my PlayStation accounts are Danish now. Like, I've got no inclination, because it's my credit card. It makes less sense to transfer money back over to do it than it does just to pay for them straight. I know, obviously, there's sometimes some better deals, but I don't care.
Mm.
It's going to be a pain in the ass if I ever move back to the UK, because then I'm going to have the same problem I have now. But until that day, oh well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And lastly, just to touch upon new releases, anything you're excited about just around the corner? Or
just around the corner, there's some stuff out in March, right?
There's
like
Pokken? Tournament.
The Pokemon game's coming out, is it?
In March, yes.
Oh, okay.
And then April, we got Star Fox.
I'll play Star Fox.
I'll get the Pokemon fighting game.
Yeah.
And Star Fox.
I want to see if Star Fox is any good.
Star Fox on Zavvi now for pre-order is only 30 quid.
Yeah.
Which seems pretty good.
But most Nintendo titles, if you think back to it, has been pretty cheap.
Well, that's it. I'm thinking, you know, retail copies will probably be 35.
Yeah. I'm probably going to pick up Twilight Princess next week.
No. I have no interest whatsoever.
I bought it on the Wii. I played the first 10 minutes of it and I hated motion controls.
Yeah, well, I had the GameCube one, so I'm quite fine with just owning that version.
I don't own the GameCube one. And at this stage, the GameCube one is about 50, 60 quid.
Is it really nowadays?
Yeah. It's never been a cheap game because it was always
limited.
Well,
it was cheap when it was released.
Yeah. But
it was normal price.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember pre-ordering that.
But it's never really gone below the price it came out at. Because it was always a very rare game anyway. I mean, like, of course you could find it at launch, but there weren't that many copies of it pressed for all intents and purposes. This will probably be 35 quid, hopefully, around that mark.
Is that
in HD.
Yeah. The HD-ness, I've seen a video comparing.
Yeah.
And, of course, it does look a lot nicer, but
It's a curiosity for me. It's the only Zelda game I haven't beaten other than Minish Cap.
Yeah,
it'd
be good for you. Be good for you to play that one.
I'm curious to see if I just didn't like that game or if I really just hated the motion controls.
I was quite happy with that game.
See, this is what I hear.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it's been a long time since I've played Ocarina even, so I'm just like, well, I could probably do with another Zelda game like that. You'll see. I'm going to pick that up. Other than that, I can't really think of anything. I think Quantum Break's out in March, but
yeah.
I don't know. I'm more interested in getting a few more weird Game Boy games and a few PS4 titles, perhaps, that I haven't already owned.
So maybe the Wii U version of Zelda will be one to pick up, because that will be the more obscure one.
Perhaps.
But yeah, we're just guessing now.
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, I think the GameCube one held its value more than the other one. Because, I mean, if you look at Wind Waker's pretty affordable on the GameCube. It's just because, for all intents and purposes, the Twilight Princess version is a lot better. I assume there will probably be a price drop, other than for the diehard GameCube collectors, on Twilight Princess once this version comes
out. Yeah. Because this version doesn't include motion controls.
No, it doesn't.
At all.
It looks like a definitive
version. That's totally against sort of what seemed to be Nintendo's philosophy not so long ago.
Well, that motion control thing was like, hey, have some motion controls. I'm hoping they've cut it out of Star Fox, because that looked fucking awkward.
Well, they got Platinum involved, and I don't know if Platinum were involved all the way through, or
came in later.
There you go.
And probably to fix it. Let's be honest, you.
If they fix it, probably turn it into a more conventional game than it was originally intended to be.
I just didn't like the fucking look of it. Like, I love Star Fox. Like, Starwing on the Super Nintendo is probably in my top five games. Like,
I think they went to the right people, because it was obvious from Bayonetta 2
that they
liked
Star Fox
and they wanted.
Apparently they've been trying to make a Star Fox game for the last 5 years. They've been trying.
Platinum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only reason they put that in there was to prove that they could do a Star Fox game. Like, that is no word of a lie. That is literally lifted from an interview.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, I'm very curious to see
I'm looking forward to Platinum's Turtles game.
Yeah, looks all right. Has that even been officially announced yet?
Yeah,
or is
it has
that...
now.
No, it has. Okay. Yeah, I'd be okay with that. I like Devastation, so I imagine it'd be more of the same.
Cool. So there's some bright things on the horizon, a few mysteries which will be solved, I'm sure, in due time, and we'll eagerly await Nintendo's console announcement.
Man, I really want E3 to roll around so we can see this fucking NX finally.
Yeah, how is it going to be different than the other two? What's going to be... I mean, of course, Nintendo games will be the killer app for it, as is always, but will they do anything progressive? The other two...
See, the interesting thing is now, Nintendo might find themselves in a really weird place, and I don't really want to talk about this for too long, because this podcast is running on. But you've got to think a bit in terms of, like...
They've got to do something different, haven't they?
They can't, like... They're launching at a weird time. I mean, they're 3 years into a console generation now. Mm-hmm. I know they obviously preemptively launched before the PS4 and Xbox One, but they did so with a console that was arguably just better than those previous gen. So when they're launching a console now, it would be better if they were forward-thinking. However, they can't really do that much with the architecture.
Because they needed to be able to run.
Because they needed to play PS4 and Xbox One developed games from third parties.
They need to be able... That's the failing, isn't it, of the Wii U, that they can't support the third-party games. Yeah.
So it's interesting. Like, I would hope that they could do it in a way that it runs on PC architecture the same way that the Xbox One and PS4 do. However, granting developers the abilities to use these new consoles. Because, I mean... You look at some PS4 games now, and I mean, there's some fucking messed up things of like loading and stuff already. Like, these consoles are already starting to chug under the weight of some games.
I still feel like PS4 feels like it's able to manage most things in a way that PS3 never really could.
Yeah, yeah. You know? No, don't get me wrong, it's leaps and bounds better than last gen. But I think we're already reaching a point 2 years into this console cycle where there's a reason that PC versions are starting to be rated higher than the console versions, is that there's such a big divide now between what they can do.
Nintendo have got to make this console the one to play everything on. This has got to be the best of the best.
It needs to be.
The best version of every game will be on the Nintendo console. And then they're in there.
And if that happens, I'll be a very happy boy.
But they'll probably do something which will turn people off buying that version. Not necessarily, it might be the best looking version, but it might... Maybe something Nintendo's infrastructure, like their online side of things, which might turn people off. I think there's always going to be something. I hope there's no negatives.
I hope there isn't.
There could
I
be.
Hope they have been working on this console since the Wii U launched. And I mean, that to this stage is almost 4 years ago. I bought that at the end of my first year here. Or just over three, right?
It's been a while, isn't it? What I love about the Wii U is that touch control, that screen.
That's not going to be in the NX, I guarantee
you. For sure, because of the price.
The price,
yeah.
But also the fact that I don't think they really utilised it. I mean, like...
They didn't.
If you look at that now in Nintendo games, it's not even that well utilised.
No.
They just had this idea of, oh, people will want it because it's like a tablet.
It's the same across the board, though, isn't it, with the Kinect and Move.
Splatoon is the best game using that thing for me. Mario Maker also makes some really nice use out
of
it.
Well, I have to say YouTube's the best on Wii U for the very fact it has that screen.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I do use the Wii U for YouTube quite a lot.
I mean, I play games on it. I'm one of these weird people that prefers to look at the gamepad than the screen. But that's because I like handhelds, which is not really
And the
secret.
Whole being having a second screen if someone wanted to use a TV was also a nice feature.
Like, especially when we lived together, it was exceptionally handy when I wanted to play Mario, but I mean, at the same time, it's not that great. It's not really bowled me over in the ways I expected. It's got some fucking fantastic games.
Yeah. I do think, though, at the same time, the new Nintendo console's got to be backwards compatible with the Wii U.
I think it can't not be.
But then, if you've got a screen... Oh, it's got to be able to use... If you've got a gamepad, you can use the gamepad with it.
Yeah, but that's going to piss a lot of people off, because then they won't be able to sell their Wii U's on, because they need to keep the gamepad, because you can't buy them separate. That means
probably,
that
it won't bother me.
But... That means Nintendo would have to have a SKU on the market that would just sell the gamepad, and I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to cut their losses.
But then you lose all the gamepad functionality out of all these games.
Yeah. I think that may have to happen.
That would be sad, you know, because people then would just hang on to their Wii U's as well, and they wouldn't be able to have an all-in-one system.
They're not going to be able to have an all-in-one system.
Hmm. You're like, not going to be able to play Wii on there.
Unless their controller is something radically different. And I mean, there has been that pattern that's floating around that is essentially the controller is a fucking screen. But like, have you seen that? Like,
well, then it could use
a, no, there's a patent that is literally like, the controller is like an Xbox One controller, it looks like in the thing. But the whole thing is a screen.
Yeah.
So like you're pressing buttons and stuff on the screen.
They're actually physical buttons or?
Physical buttons. Mm. But they're all, it's all.
That sounds like it get very messy.
Yes, this is greasy, what I'm thinking.
And Nintendo actually have always been ones to have durable accessories and hardware.
Yeah.
I have dropped that gamepad on the floor many, many times. I have it plugged in there and I trip over the wire all the time. And
yeah.
Knock it, and it is Wii remotes as well. They're very durable things.
And like my Wii remotes have been through the ringer. Like I've thrown a couple of them, and they're fine. Yeah.
So the idea of them making a console, which is effectively just a screen.
No. But I mean, that was the controller they've patented. So like, that's not to say what the console is.
That just sounds very delicate for a Nintendo idea.
I don't know. I mean, you can put it behind like a plastic shell.
Yeah,
it'd be quite easy.
Oh well,
I don't know.
I look forward to whatever Nintendo come up with. I'm sure it will be very fun if they, you know, have the right games, which I hope I'm sure they will.
Yeah. I hope so.
Oh, well. Fun is what we want.
Okay. Yeah. Speaking of fun, if you've enjoyed this podcast, you can listen to some more of Tom and Matt Attack at tomandmattattack.com/podcast or on Blast Process eventually. This is the 120th episode. I think you can only listen up to 104 on there, right, at the moment.
You can. We're still looking into what's happened there.
Yeah.
Bear with us.
There was also a bit of a technical snafu on this podcast. Well, the last two, actually.
That's your phone.
Ah, that's why I couldn't find it. Essentially, for some reason, our podcasting host kind of switched how I upload things and didn't inform me.
Oh.
So those two last podcasts have only been published today.
No way.
However.
Oh, I hope we haven't lost,
We have lost a few subscribers. I apologise for that, but I'm going to post it out on the old Twitters later.
Oh.
However, from our perspective, if you want to go download all of those previous podcasts, please go do that, because then we can actually chart, because we've got three times as many podcasts as we usually do. And that would be nice, because we never have fucking charted.
I can testify to the quality of these last three podcasts.
Yes.
Especially this one.
Talk about The Witness in the last one. This was a very good podcast, yeah.
If we do say so ourselves.
Yeah, change the room. We're actually in Tom's apartment this time, not mine, so there's no cats jumping in us and nibbling on Tom's feet.
No, but I think we've covered a lot this week.
I think so. There's even games I played this week that I haven't talked about. I really wanted to tell you how great Saints Row 4 is, but I guess I'll do that next week.
Mm.
Anyways, if you have enjoyed listening to the podcast, like I said, check it out there on those various websites. You can also find it in iTunes. If you're not already subscribed, then please, please do so.
Or resubscribe.
As I said, please download those extra episodes that you haven't listened to, even if you're like, well, I haven't got time to listen to 3 hours
of
podcasts. Because it helps us out.
3 days worth of Tom Matt Attack there if you listen to one a day.
Yeah, exactly. It's like vegetables and fruits, right? You should get 5 a day of those as well. You can get 3 a day Tom Matt Attack at the moment.
Wow.
Off the low, low price of
free. Times the fun.
Exactly. Double the pleasure, triple the fun, as that song goes. Anyway, give us a rate as well if you do like this podcast. If you are a new listener, because I'm going to do a shout out on my YouTube channel and hopefully drum up some interest as well, then hello. I hope that this has met your expectations.
Oh, yes.
And other than that, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TomAndMattAttack, and we're also on Twitter at TMAcast.
Yeah.
And that brings us to
On Instagram.
Oh, yeah, we are. Shit. Yeah,
I realized completely
forgot about that. I have no idea what that password is. I should probably figure that out. Yeah, you can follow us on Instagram if you really want. I don't fucking use it, though. And until next week, I think it's time to say those immortal words. Game on.
Game on.